So if you don't mind, I'll just speak a few words because I haven't eaten today. One time, a devotee asked Śrīla Prabhupāda, if worship of the spiritual master is so important and so essential to the practice of Krishna consciousness, then why didn't Lord Chaitanya mention it in his Shikshastakam prayers? Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he left us only 8 verses. But Śrīla Prabhupāda has also stated that these verses contain the essence of Krishna consciousness. So the devotee asked Prabhupāda, if that's the case, then why isn't worship of the Guru mentioned in the Shikshastakam prayers? So Śrīla Prabhupāda closed his eyes and he thought for a moment. He said, no, it's there. Worship of the Guru is there. And the devotee said, but where, Prabhupāda? We chant every morning. Prabhupāda said, no, Trinada peace in each inner, Dora peace sahisana, Amanina, Amanina, Kirtani yad sada hari. That if you become humble, then naturally you'll bow down before your spiritual master. That's how Prabhupāda described it. If one becomes humble, if one practices this essential verse of Shikshastakam, then naturally if one becomes humble, he'll bow down to the spiritual master and Krishna. So it's in this way it's mentioned. So how is it that one develops humility? Actually, one cannot develop humility outside of Krishna consciousness, real humility. And how does one develop humility in devotional service? One naturally develops humility by hearing from the spiritual master. How is humility a result of hearing from the spiritual master? Because what does the spiritual master speak about? He speaks about Krishna. He speaks about devotional service. He speaks about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And naturally, when you hear about the glories of Krishna from the authorized source, from disciplic succession, then naturally what happens is you realize how great Krishna is. Because only a devotee can actually present Krishna as he is. Those who are not devotees, they're envious of Krishna, and they never present Krishna actually as he is. They maybe say he's some famous personality, he was a king, he was this, he was that, but they never actually give him the actual credit that he's due as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like the bona fide spiritual master does, like Śrīla Prabhupāda did. So the natural result of hearing about Krishna from his devotee is that one is inspired to bow down before Krishna. Just like we've mentioned many times, devotees are always saying that before Śrīla Prabhupāda came to the Western countries, there were so many editions of Krishna's words, the Bhagavad Gita, but practically no one became a devotee of Krishna. But as soon as Prabhupāda came to the Western countries and he gave us Bhagavad Gita as it is, where Krishna is accepted as the Supreme Lord, and his essential instruction is there, sarva dharmam paricchaja mamekam saranam bhaja aham tam sarva papebhyo moksasima sujaha, just abandon all varieties of dharma and surrender unto me, I will protect you from all sinful reaction, do not fear. Because that instruction was being presented with realization by Krishna's pure devotee, Śrīla Prabhupāda, so many devotees started coming. So many people accepted Krishna as God and bowed down to him. Because the pure devotee is presenting Krishna as he is. And naturally, you may think you're very important, but naturally when you come in contact with someone more important than you, you feel humbled. That's a natural reaction. It's just, you might say, human nature. You may think that you're number one on the block, but if some other kid moves on the block, he's got bigger muscles than you, and he knows martial arts, then, you know, you're a little humbled. You don't walk around, you know, like, you're number one anymore. But when you meet him, you know, good day, dzień dobry, naturally. So when Krishna is presented by his pure devotee, asam urdhva means no one is equal to or no one is greater than Krishna. When we hear about Krishna from the authentic source, we hear about Krishna as he is. We hear about Krishna's philosophy, we hear about Krishna's pastimes, and we become convinced because we're hearing about Krishna from his devotee. That's why it's recommended we should not hear about Krishna from anyone but his devotee. And the result of hearing from his devotee is we become Krishna conscious. And Krishna conscious means we're aware of the greatness of God, and we become humbled. We naturally want to bow down to Krishna. That is the result. It may not be so easy for a conditioned soul, but when we hear about how attractive Krishna is and how Krishna reciprocates with our obeisances, then naturally one is inclined to bow down to the Lord. In the material world, when people hear about service to God, you know, they're not very much inclined because they have a very bad taste of service. Because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati has described, material life means you put your head on my lap and I cut your throat. So if we render some service to anyone in the material world, simply they want something from us. They're not actually inclined to give us anything than, you know, what we're meant to be paid. And you render service to anyone in this material world, and there's always some selfish motivation on the part of the person receiving a service and on your part as well. So that service is not fully satisfying. And people don't want to serve. But somehow or other, when we hear about Krishna and we bow down to Krishna, we begin to render service to Krishna, again, we rediscover how nice it is to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we're satisfied. So we want to go on hearing more and more about Krishna from his representative. And the nature of service in the material world is that it all finishes at the moment of death. Whatever you accumulate as a result of that service is finished at death. Whatever little service you may render to the Lord, he never forgets. And even if you don't finish up your devotional service, if you don't come to the stage of prema bhakti in this lifetime, you begin where you left off. Krishna's so great, he can remember, because he's situated in the heart and he's witnessing all our activities. He can see every amount of service that we're performing. Even an ordinary elephant. It's described an elephant. He never forgets an offense to him. It's just actually a woman also stated. And a woman and a elephant, they never forget if someone offends them. There's a famous story. There was one elephant. He was being taken care of by his caretaker. It was a young elephant. But at one stage, the caretaker no longer wanted to serve or take care of the elephant, so he sold him off. The bond between the elephant and the caretaker is actually very strong. You see in India that the caretakers, you know, there's a big, big elephant, but he has a little stick. He just touches them on this part of the foot, and the elephant goes that way. He touches them on the ear, the elephant bows down. Elephants are very intelligent. And there's actually a bond of affection there between the animal and his trainer. Actually, an elephant, when he's raised, generally he only has one trainer. And if he changes trainers, it's very difficult for him to make that adjustment. Anyway, this is a true story, that this elephant, he was sold off by the elephant trainer. And many years later, that elephant was in a parade going down a street, and his old trainer was in the crowd watching the parade. That elephant was coming down the road, and he recognized the elephant trainer. It was something like 20 years later. He recognized the elephant trainer, and as he's walking past, everyone was clapping in the parade, he reached out with his trunk and grabbed the neck of that trainer, pulled him out of the crowd, put him on the ground, and stepped on his head. He kept walking. So this shows how elephants, they never forget anything. But how much more intelligent is Krishna? Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, he remembers all states of being, past, present, and future. So he remembers even the littlest amount of devotional service that is done by his devotee, even if it's very small service, he remembers and he reciprocates by giving us another opportunity to perform devotional service. They asked Prabhupada one time, what is the result of chanting Hare Krishna? Prabhupada said, more chanting. And another instance, they asked Prabhupada, what is the result of all this devotional service? And Prabhupada said, more devotional service. Because that's the highest thing that one can achieve. Because by achieving devotional service, one can get the mercy of Krishna. Just like when the gopis approached the Lord in the dead of night, then he was so much indebted to their service attitude because it was a pure service. They had no other desire but to please Krishna. Even their reputations were lost by coming to the forest late at night to meet a young boy. Even their reputation was completely tarnished. So Krishna was appreciating that they were coming, answering his call without considering anything for themselves. And he said, how can I reciprocate with you? He said, the way I can reciprocate with you is you simply have to be satisfied with your service. So that's not a small statement, because by achieving devotional service, one can actually achieve the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One can capture Krishna like Mother Yasoda did. And so it's no small thing. So if we get this opportunity to perform devotional service, we should consider it. Even if it's a very tiny service, just sweeping the floor or cleaning the dishes, that cannot be compared even with the creation of a non-devotee Brahma. Sometimes there's non-devotee Brahmas, and they do a big job of creation. We may think, big deal. But actually, even a little amount of devotional service is more important, because it guarantees the next step in devotional service, which guarantees the next step in devotional service. And eventually, either in one lifetime or two lifetimes, or even if it takes 50 lifetimes, even as that devotee Mukunda said, even if it takes millions of lifetimes to achieve the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, still it's guaranteed. Where if, as you do, you know, lifetimes of karmic activity, you know, no devotional service, no mercy of Krishna is guaranteed. So we should be very happy, even if we can just do some small service for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj, in his previous life, before he was Prahlad Maharaj, he was taking his queen. He was a king, and he was taking his queen to the forest, and they were having a little argument. So as they could discuss it and come to the conclusion, he simply, there was some, you know, a slab of stone there, so he just went like this. And he said, all right, sit down, let's discuss. So they sit down, they had their little argument, and you know, these things are not very significant. Chanakapana says, a clap of thunder in the sky, two goats fighting, and an argument between a husband and wife. They start out in a grand way, but the consequence is insignificant. So they had a little quarrel like that, and then they went on their way. But actually what they were doing, what Prahlad Maharaj had done, is that was a temple of Lord Nrisingadeva which had been covered in the forest. So he was just cleaning that spot to sit down with his queen to finish their argument. But actually he was cleaning the temple of the Lord. And as a result, Shastra says, his next birth, he got the opportunity to have direct association with Lord Nrisingadeva. So we can hardly imagine, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, how fortunate we are. Not only are we cleaning the Lord's floor and washing his plates, we're also able to preach his glories. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that there's none more dear to him than a preacher, nor in the future shall anyone be as dear. So we can do many services, but if we can preach, then it's sure and certain that we'll get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and who knows, in our next lifetime we may achieve the association of the Supreme Personality of God. So we're very fortunate like that. But it all begins by hearing from the spiritual master and bowing down. And that is a natural result of hearing, because the spiritual master speaks about Krishna, and our natural inclination about hearing the glories of the Lord is to very submissively bow our head down to the floor, very happily, in devotional service. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srisi Lakshmi Nrisimhadev ki, Sri Bhagavat Prasadam ki, Gaur Premanandi. I'll distribute prasada, then I'll take prasada. What did everyone do the last 2 days? When I got, speaking about an elephant never forgetting, a woman never forgetting, or to speak Krishna never forgetting, the government is also not forgetting things. When I arrived at the airport here, you know, they took my passport and they typed something in there, and then they said, so, when are you going to pick up your Australian visa? I said, what? I said, why did you go to France? You were only here for 3 days. You applied for an Australian visa. Why are you going to France? Oh, I see here you're a resident of France. Why didn't you get your visa in France? What is this? What's going on? What are you... They started challenging me like that. I said, I'm just visiting some friends there, and said, but if you're a resident, why are you spending so much time outside of the country? I said, oh, I'm coming to visit some friends. He says, you'll pick up your visa, you know, it's closed on Saturday, you'll pick up your visa tomorrow? Yes, ma'am. All right. Okay. Govinda, what are you doing down here? Well, just a little. Let's just see what happens there. Oh, I see. Oh, how long a drive is that? I forget. It's about an hour, right? Hour and a half. Yeah.
Hour and a half, 2 hours.
2 hours. How's it going up there?
It's going pretty good. We've had a few complications with members of the congregation, but we made three devotees last week.
You did? Made three devotees,
yeah. Once, got to come down here, two of got to get ready for the marathon.
Wow.
It's going good. It's going good.
Fantastic, yeah. Actually. That's because you're there. Do you go back to that school I did? I like that school program. I remember that all the time, you know?
The season starts again now.
Really?
Next week, we start doing our programs. Maybe next time when you come, we could...
Okay, I take a vow in front of all the Vaishnavas.
It's recording.
That's right. In front of my deities. The next time I come, I'll come to Birmingham and do some programs there. I'd like to go back. Maybe we could arrange that same school again. You get some? That professor, remember him? He was real nice. Mm. Real nice professor. Huh? Oh, Pallas. Is that Pallas?
Gomar, could I ask you a question, please?
Yeah.
I think it was on Tuesday you were saying that with intelligence we can see past, present, and future, and then if we know that something's...
Well, we have limitedly, not like Krishna, but
right.
To some degree.
If we wanted to do something with our intelligence, we could see the result, and so we wouldn't have to do it as devotees. But we were discussing yesterday, a few of us, how sometimes we know with our intelligence that we shouldn't do something. We know it's nonsense, but we do it anyway. And it seems as if we're not really in control, we're just being pulled along.
That's because you're not very intelligent. So therefore, you have to accept the intelligence of higher authority. Senior devotee, temple president. If there's no conclusion, then you go to the spiritual master. Nice. Depending on the problem, I mean, sometimes our intelligence we can see very clearly, but if not, we should always confirm with higher authority. When in doubt, in other words, sometimes it's very clear what we should do. But if there's any doubt, then we have to place the doubt before higher authority. Just like Arjuna, he had a doubt, so he asked Krishna. So that's our procedure.
But if we voluntarily do something which we know is wrong, does that mean we're demoniac?
It's a demoniac propensity, yeah, to be independent. I mean, it's not that we're demons, but the residue of that independent thinking and independent acting is there in our hearts. That's the danger. That's why in the Bhagavad Gita it's stated that the mind can be the best friend or the worst enemy. And the mind which acts independent can be our worst enemy because it can take us to hell. But the mind that is surrendered to the spiritual master or superior authority, then it becomes our best friend because that instruction is always good for us. So if there's any doubt, any hesitation, then we should just inquire from higher authority. There's always someone more intelligent than us around. So I'm giving class tomorrow?
Yes.
Who gave class today? He did what?
Shukala gave to the Gurukula.
Oh, you did?
I got to do the lunchtime program last 2 days.
Oh, you did this class in Seoul?
Well,
I did. Oh,
last 2 days.
The good classes? Did you use all my stories and all my jokes and all my verses and everything? I'm going to go in there and going to say, that sounds just like Prahlad. Usually they say when he speaks, oh, that sounds like Indraduna Maharaj and Vridhananda Maharaj. And now I'm going to go and you're going to say, oh, that sounds just like Indraduna Maharaj. They're going to ask me, did I get all my knowledge from you? Stories. New Mayapur was actually quite nice. It's very hot down there. All the leaves on the tree, there's flowers everywhere. It's very warm. And the deities are really beautiful. Govinda Madhava. And there's a few new devotees there. Nice. It was a quick visit. They were very angry. Because I came in last night, and then I just saw a few devotees, and I got up, and because I was tired, I got up a little late, and I just walked in, gave class, and then I went to the prefecture and came back here.
How did your interview?
Oh, so hard.
You spoke in French?
Yeah, I just speak all French. They called me into a room, and Sringananda came in with me, and they told him to leave. the lady sat down, they tried to trick you, you know? And I didn't have my hearing aid. And she was sitting about that far away, you know? So it was hard enough, and they were asking all kinds of questions what I did before I was a devotee. And the most, they said the thing they wanted to know the most is, why is an American citizen want to become French? But it was a tricky question, like, you know, like I was supposed to answer, you know, of course, you know, Americans are better, but I want to be French anyway. That's what they were thinking I was going to say, but I didn't say that. I said, j'aime la France, madame, I love France. And she went, oh, you do? And I go, je suis en France depuis 1971, for plus de 20 ans. I was here from 1971, more than 20 years. She said, oh, more than 20 years. She said, oh, yes. I said, I spend most of my life here. And anyway, it was like really mundane. And then she said, how do you get your money? I said, the community. I said, c'est pas suffisant. That's not enough. I said, she said, you must have more money than that. I said, yes, my mother. She said, excuse me, sir, you're 44 years old. Excusez-moi, monsieur, vous êtes 44 ans. Votre mère en veut l'argent, États-Unis. You're 44 years old. She said, this is quite strange. She said, you know, you're a monk and you're the community. What do you do in the community? I said, I preach. She said, you don't do anything else? You just, what does it mean you preach? You don't do any, like, administration, any farming. And, no, I just preach. And people give you money? Yes. She's going on. She looked at my ring. Your mother's 66 years old. She's sending you money? I said, yes. You know, she's a really good mother. Bonne mère. And at first I said, belle mère. Belle mère is beautiful mother. Yeah. She said, and belle mère? She's 66 years old, a beautiful mother. I said, no, bon mère.
Two meanings.
Mother-in-law. Many times she said, qu'est-ce que vous dites? That means, what are you saying, right? Qu'est-ce que vous dites? Many times she was saying, qu'est-ce que vous dites? I say, je sais pas. I don't know. She goes, oui.
Thank you.
Oh, Thank you.